The Right Side of Wrong by Mr. Mest, read by Cookie Mom 6067. Tony's head hurts, and that's his first, second, and third thought. His fourth is that he has no idea where he is. His fifth is that he has the type of headache that indicates something hit him hard enough to knock him out. The concussion could also be causing the nausea he's experiencing, but that feels different somehow. It's a sensation closer to a hangover, the type of which he hasn't experienced in years, because he doesn't drink. Tony puts that problem aside and tries to solve the real one in front of him. He looks around him and sees nothing but gray concrete blocks. There's no windows and only a steel door. The room is empty without even a chair to sit on. It feels like a place that wasn't made to imprison a person. He stands up on wobbly legs. He can walk, that's good. That means maybe he can fight. The change in position causes his headache to explode against his temples, but he blinks until the pain melts into something awful that he can suffer. Where is he? And why is he here? Last night is like a blur, and he has no memories past doing a body shot off some model. He never did get her name. It seemed unimportant in the moment. He stumbles and leans against the wall. He doesn't drink. He repeats it. He doesn't drink. Except he did last night, and many nights before that. He has those memories as clear as anything. He did a lot of things, he thinks, now that he can compartmentalize the pain. He was a different person. He was exactly who he is as he breathes right now. That's a problem for later, he reminds himself. Now he's being held against his will. The first thing he does is check to see if he has access to the armor. But for some reason, the symbiote isn't responding. Something seems to be off with Extremis as well. But why is he expecting to interface with Extremis? He remembers how it felt when his eyes glowed red. What the fuck is he doing with the symbiote? It was the most advanced armor he ever made. Who the hell is he? He is who he's always been. He needs to get out of here. He checks his surroundings, trying to find something he can use, but besides the clothes on his body, he has nothing. He needs to figure this out, though, because no one is going to save him. He did everything he could to alienate anyone close to him and pretty much everyone else in his orbit. He remembers. Even the Illuminati won't talk to him. And the Avengers? Well, they're Steve's. And Steve wants Tony dead. No, specifically, Steve wants to hunt Tony down and kill him. That distinction makes it so much worse. Tony slides down the concrete wall, his clothes catching against the rough mortar between the blocks. The room seems to be closing in on him, getting smaller and smaller with each breath. It might be, in fact. He looks from wall to wall. It's hard to judge with the lighting if the room is contracting or the weight of everything he's done since he's been inverted is getting heavier. There's an explosion outside. Tony feels it more than he hears it. Then it happens again, strong enough that the ceiling shakes and threatens to give in. He huddles in the corner. If the prison collapses, then Tony might have a way out. But first, he needs to survive the rubble. Everything shakes again. He needs to survive this. He needs to make the inversion right. He needs to. The hinges of the door creak under some pressure for seconds before breaking off when the door flies open. Whatever building he's in trembles again, but Tony tries to run through the door so that he can make his way out, no matter who's trying to get in. Dust is clouding his vision, but he's so close when something loud goes off not far from him. He loses his balance and falls on his stomach just as he's crossing the threshold. Something heavy covers him in the next moment. Tony tries pushing against what's holding him in place. "Stop moving," someone admonishes him. and Tony goes still as he realizes it's a person huddling over him, and more importantly, that person is Steve. He goes still under Steve's weight. Something crashes again. Tony can feel Steve strain on top of him and hear him grunt in pain. Then it's so silent that Steve's breathing is the loudest thing in the room. Tony is frozen with the knowledge that he needs to move and that breaking the moment will make him a target of Steve's hatred. So it's Steve who makes the first move. Slowly, he rolls off of Tony's body. Tony pushes himself up to see Steve laying there, covered in gray dust as his chest heaves. He also notices that Steve's hair is white and his skin is wrinkled, almost like he lost the serum, Tony remembers. Steve doesn't have the serum or his youth, and he just tried to block Tony from fallen debris. Steve! Tony rushes to his side. Gently, he presses a hand to Steve's skin. Steve swats at his hand. Get off me, he growls. Tony scoots away, but not too far. There was once a time where Steve would trust him enough to help him when he was injured. When did Tony lose that trust? Was it when Steve remembered what the Illuminati did to him? Or was it when Tony took San Francisco hostage with the Extremis app? Are you hurt? Tony asked from a distance that should communicate he's not a threat. Like it matters to you, Steve says. He pushes himself up from where he's lying and then winces in obvious pain. How should Tony even respond to that? He's so worried about Steve and his frail body, it's making him sick as he sits on the floor. So it matters to him. Here, he starts, knowing Steve will stubbornly refuse help. Let me check your back. Steve glares. I'm not taking my eyes off you. Tony wishes those words were said kinder. He wishes Steve didn't inject venom into every syllable. I don't have my suit, Tony says. I'm not a threat, he thinks. Even if he still has some strength on Steve now that Steve doesn't have the serum. I wouldn't hurt you, he wishes Steve would understand. I know, Steve says, once he's maneuvered himself onto his feet. Is that why you're here? To take me when I'm vulnerable? Tony looks around, trying to see who Steve brought as reinforcements, because he would have to bring reinforcements, right? I'm not here to... Steve stops and wipes some of the dust from his navy suit. You were reported missing. I had intelligence. You may have been kidnapped. I followed it. Then he fixes Tony with the scariest look he's ever seen from Steve. You're free. You won't be so lucky the next time. Then Steve turns to go. He's going to leave. Like it doesn't matter they spent 10 years as close friends. Like it doesn't matter that he's made capturing Tony his most pressing goal. Tony can't have that. Why save me? He asks. He needs to know. You hate me. Steve stops walking. He's unsteady as he balances on the debris. I don't hate you, he says, with that unwavering conviction only he can have. I hate what you did. That sounds a lot like I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. And Tony isn't going to accept it as an answer. I didn't do it, is what he tells Steve. He tries to fill the words with the same confidence Steve had, but hears his voice waver. Are you saying you didn't wipe my memories? No, not that, Tony says, but doesn't add, and I'd do it again, because he wishes he doesn't mean it. But everything else. Extremis 3.0. Alcatraz, teen abomination. It wasn't me. That was the inversion. Steve's eyes narrow as if he's considering something very important to him. I know, he says, simply and without expanding. Tony swallows. He's not even sure he knows that. It's so recent in his memory, it's hard to separate what was him and what was the man wearing the symbiote. He still remembers how that body shot tasted, even if he can't remember her name. I swear I didn't. I know. Steve repeats. He takes a step forward and then clearly thinks better of it before turning away. Is the inversion over? Yes, Tony answers. Steve takes another step forward and this time keeps eye contact with Tony. Would he lie to me? There's so much buried under that question, it might as well be stuck under the rubble with the two of them just survived. He would lie to you, Tony responds. He hopes the distinction between himself and the man he was yesterday is clear. He needs Steve to believe that, if he's ever going to start believing it himself. Then Steve asks the only question he ever could after that answer. Would you lie to me? How's Tony supposed to answer that with the history that's already holding them hostage? Yes, I would, he says. Because it's not a lie. Because he said yes to the Illuminati discussing wiping Steve's mind because it was the right thing to do. Steve's hand flexes into a fist. Tony expects a punch, but instead Steve holds his hand in the other to massage the joints of his fingers. But there's a difference, right? Steve asks. He winces for an unknown reason. He probably needs a doctor. He definitely doesn't need to be standing here rehashing things with Tony. Yet, here he is. There is a difference. Tony considers the idea of inversion, the parts of him he kept, and the parts that were twisted. He lied because he could. It was fun for him, and all he wanted was a good time, even at the expense of everyone else. Tony stops, considers, and then amends, especially at the expense of everyone else. And you? Steve asks. Finally, something in his voice breaks. Why did you do it? Because I knew I would despise myself every day after. Tony's not sure if he should expect Steve to break his nose again. Steve takes another step forward before giving himself time to steady his feet on the uneven surface. For a second, he looks lost, but it passes quickly. You need to come home, he says, tired. And you need to help me fix this. That surprises Tony until he realizes what Steve must mean. So you can put me in prison? A pause. Maybe even Steve doesn't know what he wants. No. He stops and must think better of it because he adds, if the inversion is over, I mean, otherwise. I would encourage you to take me down if it wasn't over, Tony said honestly. Steve's mouth slants up at a corner and the barely there faint hint of a smile. I know. Tony wants to ask why Steve hadn't tried that before, but then remembers Steve was going to let him walk away just 10 minutes ago. He wonders if levity would help dispel the tension. You've grown sentimental in your old age, he tells Steve. The smile drops, but Steve doesn't scoff or step away. Things change when you realize how close you are to the end. Tony realizes Steve could mean death, or he could mean an incursion. Are you ready to help me fix this? Steve asks when Tony doesn't respond. If you're done with the models, I mean. I'm pretty sure I can save the world and date whoever I want, Tony says, because he knows what Steve is getting at, but he's not sure what's under that comment. Steve crosses his arms and grumbles something under his breath, then he says louder, I believe you could, and you didn't answer my question. Tony wants so badly to work by Steve's side. He has only one answer. Yes, I'll help you. He's out of his other options. Why not start at the one he always wanted? Good, Steve says. His posture changes. The weight of the world he's trying to save must be lighter for the moment. With sad eyes, he says, I don't want it to be the end. But if it is, then it's not the end. Tony interrupts Steve to say, because he can't give up hope. He won't ever understand why his inverted self thought to stay that way. But maybe, just a little bit, it was because he had lost hope in the future. It's a beginning. Steve doesn't smile. He doesn't have to. Tony hears it in his voice when he says, Welcome back, Avenger. Let's get out of here. The end.